little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Tina, thank you so much for coming in to talk about hormone replacement therapy. Perhaps you could just tell me a little bit about how we came to a decision in the first instance that hormone replacement therapy might be worthwhile considering. And what symptoms have you had that make both of us think that maybe you might be around about the time of the menopause at the moment?
Definitely because of my mood.
Yeah.
And the increase of anxiety that I'm experiencing.
Mm, mm. What made you think that that could be something to do with the change?
Because I've been stable for quite some time.
Mm.
And then it's been going on for quite some time now with the anxiety and then the low mood.
Mm.
And it's just the symptoms that I'm having.
So in terms of your emotional health history, we're aware that you've had a couple of problems. So a history of depression and a history of what appears to be bipolar disease. That's when sometimes you're too high and sometimes you're too low. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get much of the high, though.
No. Are you getting any flushes?
I do have where I get red hot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come. That's why I thought, well, it might not be hot flush, but I do get really, really hot.
Mm.
But it doesn't last, although, I don't know, I'm saying that, 10, 15 minutes maybe.
And then it goes.
And then it goes.
Okay. So out of the blue. Were there any other symptoms that made you think that you might be going through the change, apart from the higgledy-piggledy periods that you're getting to?
It was more the emotional imbalance at the minute, the way 1 minute I'd be fine. I can change a couple of times in one day.
Yeah, okay. So very changeable in your emotion, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you sleeping at the moment?
I'm sleeping okay, actually. Yeah.
So no thoughts of harming yourself? Good.
No.
Okay. So there's a possibility your symptoms are linked with the change, and it's really hard to be quite certain about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you were quite keen to at least think about hormone replacement therapy to see if it made you feel better.
Yes.
To see if it helped you with the emotional side of things, although there's some symptoms that appear to be the physical side of going through the change as well, the irregular or slightly different periods is one of those things as well. Okay, good. Can I check with you at the moment, are you in a relationship?
I am, yes.
Yeah. And what, can I check in terms of contraception what your needs are at the moment?
I don't need any because I've had me tubes.
Tubal tie. So that, hopefully that should be effective, isn't it? It's one of the more effective methods of contraception. Nothing's ever 100%.
But there's nothing. Partner's had.
And the vasectomy too. Okay, in that case, the chances of you getting pregnant are removed to an extreme because even at the age of 47, we'd normally expect that you're not going to be ovulating regularly anyway. So chances of conceiving are remote in the extreme. That's helpful to know. Now, before we talk about the possibilities of using hormone replacement therapy, perhaps it'd be helpful for you and me just to check that there's no reason why you don't think that hormone replacement therapy would be safe for you. Have you got any thoughts about that?
I think what's putting us off is it more tablets.
Mm.
Yeah, I think what it is, because I take that many tablets anyway, and I'm like, oh, no more tablets.
Well, maybe we need to talk through not just the tablet options, but the other options that go along with it.
Right.
So it depends on what symptoms you're having as to what treatment that we would recommend for you, but there are non-tablet formulations that might suit you. And can I check, have you noticed any of the other changes that might be linked with going through the change? And I'll just go through some of those with you, if that's okay.
Right.
Skin changes, often dryness.
Well, I've got psoriasis.
Okay. But your psoriasis is no
it's
worse than
up.
You. It has flared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we think there's an emotional link with that flaring up. But the rest of your skin's not being particularly dry or anything.
No.
Okay. Hair changes.
No.
Not really. Okay. Vaginal dryness and difficulties with your sex life.
No.
No. That's not been an issue at all.
No.
Waterworks.
I go a bit more regular.
If you were to cough or sneeze, would you leak at all?
Yes.
And how long's that been going on for?
Oh, a long time.
Okay. So it might be worthwhile thinking about hormone replacement therapy for that. The type of HRT that works for that is probably local to the vagina. So the choice that you have is between a pessary that you pop in every night for a couple of weeks, and then twice a week thereafter. Okay, so you could use that, and that is an extremely effective treatment and seems to work in anything between 20 and 90% of women who've got stress incontinence, that leaking a little bit when you cough or sneeze.
A lot, yeah. Mm.
So that might be worthwhile contemplating just for that, mm-hmm. but that will be a topical HRT, so just inside the vagina. But it usually takes 2 or 3 months before you start to see the benefit of that. So right. We could give that a go and see if you want. And that seems to be safe. It seems to be risk-free as far as we're aware. Even women who have had breast cancer or clots can use that without any apparent increase in their risk of having clots
right.
or having breast cancer. Although the licensing would suggest that we have to be careful in those groups, but actually, in practical terms, I think it's reasonable for women to be making a decision with the support of their own doctors to say, well, actually, we know that this formulation doesn't increase your risk of either of those problems. So I think that's a reasonable choice for you for that problem.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the menopause, because you haven't gone through the menopause, but as you drift towards the menopause, and that can be the vast majority of women will have a menopause between roughly the ages of 45 and about 55. The vast majority. And there are some outliers. So you might be about to go through the menopause, but it might well be that your last period ever is not for several years.
Right.
So at the moment, if we decided on a formulation of HRT that we were to give you now, we would probably give you one which was cyclical, which would continue to give you withdrawal bleeds.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you're not keen on tablets. We'll touch on the tablets, and then we'll probably move on to the other preparations, so that you've got at least a rough idea of the pros and cons of each approach. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you've got a womb still. We've not taken that out. We've stopped you from having kids, hopefully, yeah. with a tubal tie, but you've still got a womb in there. And because you've still got the womb in there, we can't just give you estrogen on its own, because there's a danger with that that's going to increase your risk of getting endometrial cancer, so cancer of the lining of the womb.
Right.
So that there's a risk of that if we don't give you progesterone. We don't always have to give you that cyclically. We don't have to cause a withdrawal bleed, but it's sensible to do that in your age group and until you've gone through the natural change time, because if we didn't do that, you'd probably end up with irregular bleeding from down below.
Right.
Which isn't going to be in your interest, and we're probably going to end up investigating that and thinking, well, I wonder if there's anything behind that. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly one of the considerations, isn't it? That no matter how safe it is to use HRT, that in your age group, when you've still got a womb, then we would usually at your age be recommending that we give you a cyclical one.
Right.
And that can be either a topical one, a patch or a cream one, or it could be in the form of a tablet, which we've mentioned before. So we're going to talk a little bit about safety, if that's okay. So specifically when we're talking about the tablet formulations do have an increased risk of clots. And it's worthwhile you being aware of how much of an increase that is. So the background risk of clots in women of your age is relatively low, but HRT increases that risk by a factor of 2 to 3. But the risk is still small in those groups unless you've got a strong family history. If you've got a strong family history of clots, then we would normally counsel that it's not sensible for you to be thinking about taking that combined HRT or estrogen only HRT, even if you didn't have a womb. So those would be the tablet formulations. However, the good news for you is that if you were worried about that risk, then it seems completely safe, or almost completely safe, to be using a formulation that is given to you by skin.
Right.
So a transdermal or a patch, or even a cream, potentially. So those formulations do seem to be safe.
Right.
Yeah. Had that been something that was worrying for you?
I think I don't really think that I worried, because I wasn't quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the fact of thinking, oh, because I take a lot of tablets. And it was more tablets, and I'm like, oh, I just get sick of having to take tablets. I think that's what was putting us off.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we're covering this ground for the sake of people listening to this audio, as opposed to advising that would be one of the options that would suit you, because that probably isn't an option that would suit you. You'd probably prefer to think about the patches if you would like to give this a go. So just to highlight that anything that has got the combination of estrogen together with progesterone does increase the risk of breast cancer.
Right.
Okay. So in the order of magnitude, so the numbers that I've got here is that under the age of 50, there doesn't seem to be any influence on the risk of breast cancer. So you could use it short term without significant risk in terms of breast cancer, either the patch formulations or the tablet formulations. That would seem to be relatively safe in terms of breast cancer risk. Nice. Beyond the age of 50, we do have evidence to suggest that if you have combined hormone replacement therapy, that's the one that you would have to have because you've got a womb, then there is an increase, whichever route we give it to you, so either by tablet or by patch, that both of those are linked with an increased risk to you of getting breast cancer. So that's an extra 3 cases of breast cancer if we were to treat 1,000 women over a period of 5 years. So it's a small increase. I mean, the natural incidence of breast cancer in that age group is roughly about 10 per 1,000. So we're increasing that by an extra 3 cases. The good news is that as soon as you stop that HRT, your risk goes back down to normal levels.
Right.
Okay. Do you have any questions at this stage?
I know that breast cancer does run in my family, I would be a bit...
Tell me a bit more about that breast cancer.
I'm saying it's in the family. It's my mum's brother's wife, so it's not blood relative, really, is it? But my Auntie Linda, she had breast cancer, and she had a mastectomy. Is that right, mastectomy?
Yeah.
And she's getting it. Thought it was clear, and it's come back again.
Yeah.
It's only the one case. It's just like my mum's...
Okay, so the relevance to you is that it's no... There's no genetic link, there's no blood link there at all. So you're not in a higher risk group. So this risk is your risk. So if we were to take 1,000 women just like you and then watch you over the course of 5 years, then about 10 are going to get breast cancer. And by giving you a combined form of HRT, whether that was patches or whether that was tablets, we would slightly increase your risk of being diagnosed with breast cancer. There are some other things that might be worthwhile mentioning in terms of cancer risk too as well. So when it comes to ovarian cancer, do you have any experience of ovarian cancer?
No.
It's an uncommon cancer, but it does happen occasionally. The risk of these of ovarian cancer, as I say, is very small in the first instance, but it might be that if 2,500 women take HRT for 5 years, there could be an extra case of ovarian cancer. So tiny increased risk, potentially, but we're uncertain about that one. Yeah?
Yeah.
Endometrial cancer risk for those ladies who are taking HRT seems to be no higher, providing you're taking some progesterone. So that means that it's a good idea for you to be using the combined form of HRT. So we can't just give you estrogen on its own, unless you're just giving it into the vagina. Okay, that's the end of talking about cancers linked with this. Do you want to talk about any other concerns?
I think my concerns would be because with, with us having it affects us with my hormones. With us having the bipolar, I'm just wondering how does it work for the, because I still don't understand my illness 100%, but if I have more hormones put into us, is that the right way? And how would it affect us? is it going to help us in the long run as mental state, do you think? Or...
Well, we're going with the assumption that changes in your hormones seem to have been linked with episodes previously that you've had when you've become unwell with your psychosis. So the first episode was after giving birth. Have you had any other episodes that have been linked to hormone changes that you've noticed before?
Just my daughter and my son.
So two episodes immediately after giving birth where those hormone levels have been changing significantly. So what we're proposing to think about doing is to see if you feel emotionally better. And there's good evidence to suggest that HRT quite often works for those ladies, first of all, who are losing sleep because of flushes.
Right.
Or having flushes out of the blue that are affecting their quality of life. And there's no suggestion of an increased risk of being unwell. So it's worth trying out for 3 months to see if it makes you feel better. And there's decent evidence also to suggest that we find a general improvement in well-being with using HRT. In those ladies who are short of the relevant hormones, okay? Particularly when you... Sometimes it can be quite emotionally upsetting to have or not to be able to predict when your periods are going to come or for your periods to be heavy or painful.
Yeah.
And that quite often happens around about the time of the menopause. So those are the symptoms that we're trying to improve by using hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to propose that if you're interested in it, then it might not be a bad idea to be taking a topical form because you're not keen on tablets. You're not particularly at risk, although you're a little bit overweight, not particularly at risk of having deep vein thrombosis, but we usually suggest that if you've got additional risk factors, now that would include a tendency towards diabetes. You're not diabetic.
He's asked us to have a test.
So it's worthwhile just testing to make sure that's not the case, particularly with being a little bit overweight. Generally speaking, if somebody's got a body mass index over 30, then we'd suggest that that's a good enough reason in itself. So because you're overweight, then you fit the criteria for us normally suggesting that the patch is the preferred method for you to keep you as safe as possible, because being overweight is linked with that increased risk of clots.
Right.
So we think the patches are very safe when it comes to clots, which is good news for you.
Right.
So that's part of the reason for considering it.
My blood pressure was quite high the other day, actually.
Yeah, so you've never been diagnosed with having hypertension, but the last reading that we had which was suggesting that your blood pressure was a little bit above what you had expected, but we wondered whether that might be linked with your emotional health on that day. But we need to have that repeated to find out, is that a genuine increase? But so if your blood pressure was high, then that would be another reason for thinking about using the patches as opposed to the tablets. So another reason for that it might suit you best.
How does the patch work then? Does it just seep into your skin?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, right.
Okay. So it slowly releases a small amount of estrogen and progesterone if you're having a combined patch, and that does the job of controlling your hormone levels and making you feel better. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing to think about is with the medication that you're taking, are any of your medications what we call enzyme-inducing medications? So those are medications that potentially could interfere with the way that your liver processes drugs. So gets rid of estrogen.
Right.
Does that make sense? So just going back to that question about whether you're on an enzyme inducer. So this is a typical list. So alcohol is the crucial one that we've already found is the case.
Yes.
And we're not coming up with any other of your medication, but we're just going to have another look and just check there's nothing else. So there doesn't seem to be anything else on your list. But we can actually plug in and ask whether lithium does it as well.
Right.
So we can actually put the names of medication just to double check. Lithium is confirmed as not being an enzyme inducer, so that's reassuring, isn't it?
Oh, right.
So we can ask about quetiapine as well. If you were on an enzyme-inducing medication, right, if one of the medicines that you take to help you is an enzyme inducer, it just means that the estrogen dose that you've got running around in your blood is lower because your liver's got rid of it.
Oh,
because
right,
you've got a liver that's a little bit over-effective.
Right.
So quetiapine is metabolised by the liver. It's not reported as being one which causes the liver to do its job any faster, so it's not thought to be an enzyme inducer itself. Never had gallbladder disease, never had gallstones, never had a stroke. Your triglyceride levels have always been okay, have they? You might not know about this. Have we checked your cholesterol numbers recently? So your cholesterol number, last time we checked it, was 4.8, which is fine. I don't have a result from your triglyceride level. But if you're a drinker, then your triglyceride level can be high as well. So it's as well, really, to be sensible about that. It's a type of fat in your blood.
Oh, right.
So everything really is pointing towards, if you were going to use HRT, then we give you a patch formulation.
Right.
So maybe we should be talking about the patch formulations. So before we make a choice with you and for you, what I would suggest we do is just to run through some of the benefits of HRT overall.
Right.
So they help with flushes. So you're occasionally getting flushes from your description. They help with vaginal dryness, if that had been an issue, but it's not an issue for you. They can improve with your sex life if your sex life is affected by particularly that vaginal dryness, and certainly can improve your sex life in other ways as well, potentially, because your well-being is often better.
Mm-hmm.
They can often improve your sleep if those flushes and sweaty problems can be linked with lack of estrogen, so it can help with that. Some aches and pains are sometimes linked to going through the change, and it can improve quality of life as well. So those are all worthwhile things. If you're short of estrogen, so if you went through a premature menopause, I would always encourage you to go on HRT because it protects your bones. So HRT can improve psychological symptoms, so it can make anxiety and depression better too.
Oh, wow.
Which would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
But I think we have to tackle the alcohol at the same time, so right, worthwhile just being aware of that. There's other things that we don't really fully understand here, but that might be working with HRT as well. It seems possibly to reduce the risk of colon cancer. It might protect against Alzheimer's dementia. It might prevent diabetes. Not sure what the mechanism is for this, but there is a potential there. And there seems to be a link with macular degeneration, so blindness of the back of the eye, and cataract formation. So we tend to find that your skin and your teeth will be more healthy too with having estrogen and having HRT. So some of these are quite controversial.
Good, isn't it?
There's
mm-hmm.
the potential for lots of good things. Now, there are some potential problems, and we're just going to summarise that at the end of this decision. So we've come to a point between us where you've presented to me quite recently with changes in your cycle, where your cycle's becoming a little bit irregular, not bleeding particularly heavily, but it's been a bit unpredictable. You're having occasional flushes, but your emotional health is a little bit higgledy-piggledy at the moment, and this was an idea that you thought were that could it be related to the change, and a lot of women think that too. So I think that it's relatively safe for you to be using HRT. In fact, up to the age of 50, it seems to be perfectly safe, but with a proviso for you here. So estrogen, if it's given by tablet, will slightly increase your risk of DVT. But it seems to be safe in that respect for us to give you a patch. So it would be a reasonable choice for you to take a patch which has estrogen together with progesterone, but we're going to need to give you a cyclical patch, otherwise you might have unpredictable bleeding.
Right.
Okay. And in terms of cancer risk, that's an additional thing that's worthwhile thinking about. You've got no family history of breast cancer, but combined hormone replacement therapy slightly increases your risk of being diagnosed with breast cancer. If we took a group of 1,000 women and watched them over a period of 5 years, in this age group, after 50 to 59, we would find that maybe 8 to 10 of those women would get breast cancer, no matter what we did. But if we put them on combined hormone replacement therapy, those numbers go up a little bit by 3 extra cases.
Right.
So it's there.
Yeah.
It's relatively small, but it's there. It seems to be relatively neutral in terms of ovarian cancer risk. And providing we're protecting with a progestogen, which we would be, then it also seems to be safe from the point of view of endometrial cancer risk as well. Clot risk, if we give you a patch, no apparent increase in risk. And if you're wanting specifically, as you probably are, to tackle this problem that you've got with stress incontinence, it's worthwhile a try, because that can be extremely effective and very safe to be using estrogens that you just pop inside your vagina. And that's with a vaginal tablet or with a vaginal cream.
So is that hormone replacement as well?
That's a type of hormone replacement, yes. But it doesn't affect the rest of the body.
Right.
And it doesn't increase your risk of... So you could use it on its own, you wouldn't need a progestogen.
Right.
And that seems to be safe. It appears to be safe even in women who have already had a clot or already had breast cancer. It seems to be reasonable to be using it in those groups, even though the licensing wouldn't allow us to use that without telling you that the licensing wouldn't let you use it.
Right.
But it does seem to be safe under those circumstances. It doesn't seem to increase your risk of those two problems.
So I wouldn't... Because I know you said you need both. You need the estrogen and the...
Well, you need both.
Right.
But if you elect just to be treating the stress incontinence and nothing else...
Oh, right.
Then
right.
We can put an estrogen there, and that seems to be safe. You don't need to have a progestogen with that. That's absolutely fine. Now, there used to be a thought that potentially that HRT could either protect against heart attacks, strokes and angina, or potentially might increase the risk of that. And it seems to be very safe from that point of view. It doesn't seem to, particularly if you use it in your age group, so using it around about the time of the menopause or possibly for that first 10 years of the menopause, it seems to be safe in terms of it doesn't increase the risk, at least, of having heart attacks, strokes or angina. We don't tend to use it for women who haven't been on HRT after the age of 60.
Right.
Because there's a slight increased risk on people that start HRT at that age.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you want to go over any of that ground again?
No, you made it quite clear.
It sounds as if you're at a point where you can make a decision about what you want. So I'm thinking that probably you'd be keen on having the vaginal estrogens anyway, because that might help you with the leakage.
Yes.
So give that a trial for 3 months. Start it off with... Would you prefer the cream or the pessaries?
Do you have to put the cream inside?
Yeah.
Right.
So the cream would go inside with a special applicator. It's a bit like a syringe that you just pop inside your vagina. So it's very straightforward to use.
Yeah.
But can be a little bit gungy. So we just recommend you use it on a night time.
Okay.
Yeah, so you could do that. Or the alternative is a pessary that you'd have to pop inside your vagina as well.
Right.
Not much of a muchness, really. Yeah, that sounds appealing. With the cream, probably.
I don't really know. Does it tend to, seep out?
Not. That doesn't seem to be an issue, no.
No.
I mean, particularly if you're putting it in on a night time. And there's nothing to stop you from trying the method in the first place. And then if you're not happy with it, just give me a call and we'll swap it over to the other formulation.
All right.
So that'll be fine to do it that way. I'm going to take you through some guidelines that I've got here in terms of the types of HRT. So we've got a list of all the different sorts of HRT that are available, and to think which one could be potentially right for you. Is that okay?
Okay.
So what we've got here, we're looking for a cyclical combined HRT. So you need estrogen, you need progestogen to protect you from endometrial cancer. And you've already said that you're not keen on the idea of tablets. We really need to be thinking about topical versions. So we could start potentially, if you wanted to, with this product here, which is highlighted in green to say that it's got estradiol and it's got norethisterone in it, and it comes in the form of a patch, and it's the first line treatment that we recommend to give this a go. So this is called Everol Sequi, but there are other products available. That's one potential choice that you've got. There are other ways of delivering that combination, but perhaps that would be the first thing that we would try if you're keen on that.
Right.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So shall we start with both of these treatments at the same time? There's no harm in having both if you want.
Offer me
the pessary and the patch.
Yeah.
That would be okay with you. And the plan would be for you to touch base with my nurse or even my, myself in 3 months' time to say, I'm doing okay with it, I'm quite happy with it. But I think that particularly because we're using it for uncertain indications,
it's not 100% sure.
We're not really sure.
Yeah.
It would be really helpful for me to get feedback from you if you just gave me a call and said, do you know what, Dr. Birrell, that really isn't working. Or the converse, that's really made a big difference to how I feel. It's helping not just with keeping my periods regular, which that's what we're hoping it will do too.
Yeah.
But it's also having an effect on the flushes, and it's making me feel better in myself. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Which would be a big bonus, I gather,
yeah,
wouldn't
definitely.
It? So I think we have to tackle the alcohol at the same time, and the key to that is getting your son involved in that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'll be helpful. Okay.
It'll be better for my son as well.
I'll prescribe both of these at the moment.
Right.
Now, how do you start? The cream, vaginal cream, is very straightforward. Just start it now.
Right.
So every single day for the next 2 weeks on a night. And then drop it down.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be written down on the prescription as well, so it's easy to remember. But if you miss it, don't worry too much.
Right.
But you can just carry on and take it up the following day. And then once you've used it for 2 weeks, then we'd usually recommend you then drop it down to twice a week.
Right.
But you can then use it long term, providing it's effective for you. And the reason that you're using it is to try and improve your stress incontinence. Now, it's worthwhile also doing pelvic floor exercises.
Yes.
Which I think we've taught you before, haven't we?
Yeah.
So
I don't do them a lot though.
Yeah.
So.
Worthwhile doing those on a regular basis because that will tighten things up as well. But this also has got pretty good evidence base. It maybe works in anything between 20 and 90% of women who have got this particular problem with stress incontinence. So really worthwhile. And it's safe. So try that out for at least 3 months and then let me know what your thoughts are about whether that's helpful or not. The patches, it's important that you take them at the right time of the month. But because you're still having regular cycles, we'll regard the first day if you bleed as being the day that you start taking these patches.
Right.
And depending on the type of patches, on this particular type of patch, the recommendation is that you want to be putting these patches on. So it comes in packs of 8 patches. And if I was to give you 24 patches, that would be enough for you to be using it for 3 months.
Right.
So you take a patch twice a week, and that's 12 weeks.
Do you leave it on?
And then you leave it on.
All right, yeah. Right.
And there'll be instructions in the packet about how to apply it,
right.
But if you're not certain, then get back to me and let me know, and I'll make sure that you're happy with how to put it on.
Right, okay.
Usually you'll find that you put them either on the belly or on the thigh.
Right.
But just double-check that that's right for you, okay? So I could either give you just 8 patches, which would be a month's supply, just to make sure it's okay for you. And that might be the sensible way of not being wasteful with this.
Right.
You don't pay for your prescriptions anyway, do you?
I do, yes.
You do? Ah, okay. In which case, have we...
But I pay monthly, so...
Oh, you've got a prepayment, in effect.
Yeah.
So it's not going. You're not going to be charged extra by giving you an extra prescription. So why don't we give you just a month in the first instance? Make sure you're happy enough with it. Don't expect that it's going to cause it enormous changes. I just want to make sure it's suiting you okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Once in a blue moon, there'll be a significant reaction to the patch. So if you're finding it's really sore and irritated at the site of the patch, we might need to think about a different method of applying it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the adhesive that you can react to. So I'll give you 8 patches, and then if you're happy with it, so just give me a telephone call before you run out, and we'll make sure that you get some more. Or if I'm not around, then just ask one of the rest of the team to give you enough for 3 months the next time around, as long as it's suiting you okay.
Right, okay.
Do you want me to clarify anything for you?
No. I'm quite happy about you. Told us.
Now, you're not part of the breast screening program at the moment, but it's worthwhile just being aware of your breasts. There isn't brilliant evidence that the breast screening program works very well in terms of saving women. It may be possibly will save one woman in 1,000, the breast screening program. So it's not a wonderful screening program, but if you want to be part of that, that's not an unreasonable thing for you to do, but you do need to be aware that by being part of that screening program, that you're more likely to have biopsies, the test in itself is uncomfortable, and you might be overdiagnosed with a breast lump or a breast cancer that might never have caused you too much harm. So right. There's a pros and cons to the idea of having breast screened. But if you find a lump, so it's worthwhile being breast aware. And if you find a lump, I would normally recommend that if you're going to feel your breasts on a regular basis, the best time to do it just after your period.
Right.
So just after your period, and then once your breasts aren't quite so tender, mm-hmm. then that's the time to be thinking about it and making sure that you're looking for changes to what's normal for you. If right. you think there's a lump, then it's sensible to let us know. Okay.
Okay.
And so I'm also going to give
you... even if, say, I'm not actually going through the change, and it could be just a bit of a difficult time, it's still all right for to take them anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, no harm in doing that.
Yeah.
We'll just see if they help you feel better.
Yeah.
And if they're not helping you with the flushes, if they're not helping you with your cycle control of your period, and they're not giving you a sense of well-being, then they're not right treatment for you. So it's worth a trial for 3 months of both of these options.
Yeah.
The cream in your vagina is really aimed at trying to improve your tendency to wet yourself when you cough and sneeze. And the patches are to try and improve your cycle control together with the flushes and your general well-being. If it's not doing that, it's not worthwhile continuing.
Right.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.